Bible today and turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10. If you look at Mark, he's really dealing with a lot of things as he writes down the things that Jesus dealt with. And so if you just read a little bit in there, he's the first little bit, he's battling about what marriage is and then about how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And finally, when you get this particular thing, you're going to battle a man that was blind and how that man had battled all of his life. And so he's going to be able to see who Christ is and how good that is. And so let me read to you out of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. Hopefully a familiar passage to you. And I preached this, I think I looked back about 4 or 5 years ago. But let me encourage you to have a fresh look upon it and let it change your life. Here's what the Bible says, Mark chapter 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it, that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for just the loving us and the helping us in our times of need. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to stop and call upon us and help us right where we're at. So, Lord, today I pray that you do that very thing in this house, that you would touch our troubles and our trials, the things that we need corrected, that you would do that, that you would bring conviction and guidance in our life, that we may leave here like that blind man did, seeing and following you in the way. Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly today with great compassion and boldness that others could hear the word and that would change your life. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. I think I've told you about my reoccurring dream. It was me and Brad Osteen and his son, Lance Lewis, and we were in this car traveling, probably going hunting somewhere, and all of a sudden there's a semi-truck going right at us. Next thing I knew, all three of us woke up at the gate of heaven. And the angel of the Lord was there saying, hey, we're glad to have y'all. Y'all been in a wreck. It's okay. You're fixing to enter in. But we're trying to show people how good the grace of God is. And so here's what we're doing. There's this gigantic mud pit, and we want you to start at one end, and the worse you lived in life, the deeper you're going to sink, and we'll just know how bad things are. So I, being the good guy, said, I'll go first, and so I jumped in the mud. I started going. Before I got to the very edge, just my nose was sticking out, but I reached the edge. I climbed up, but then my thought went to those other two boys. I said, oh, my goodness. Turned around, and there is Brad Osteen. He's only this deep in the mud. I looked at the angel of the Lord. I said, I knew he's a great guy. I just didn't know how great. He said, well, he's not as great as you think. He's standing on Lance's shoulders. Sometimes we can't tell a whole lot about people, amen? Sometimes we don't know what they're dealing with. Sometimes we don't know their battles. Sometimes we don't know their hearts, but Jesus always does. And we need to recognize today that the Lord wants to do something in your life, that he wants to turn you and set you free. He wants to give you a sight that sees him, that you may follow him in the way. There's a lot of great things in this story that I want to kind of bring out in this great parable that the Lord gives us about being faithful. And it's not really a parable. It is a true story that takes place in this blind man. And so notice some things in this passage that really kind of stand out. First, there's the difficulties of the man. The difficulties of the man. When you read verse 46 again, it says this, and they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people. The blind man, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I want you to see first and foremost his position in life. He was at Jericho. Now, if you don't know anything about Jericho, Jericho is that Old Testament city when the people left Egypt. They wandered the wilderness for 40 years and finally got them to the promised land. The first city they had to go into was Jericho. Jericho was the gateway city. It had to be overcome. It had to be beaten. And so Jericho should bring to mind of a battle in your life. It should bring to mind that there are hardships and trials in your life. And so if you remember that story, that the Israelites came to Jericho for 6 days. Each day they marched one time around that city. On the seventh day, they marched 7 times around the city, and they blew the trumpets, and the walls of Jericho came falling down. Let me remind you, in our life, there is a battle taking place. Blind Bartimaeus is in a real battle. He cannot see. And so today, we may have some real Jerichos or real battles in our life. I want you to recognize that if you don't have a battle, you're probably just coasting in your Christianity. If you don't have a battle, you probably don't have any spiritual goals. If you don't have a battle in your life, you probably do not have a desire for others to be saved. And your willingness to be all you can for the Lord is not as it should be. The Bible reminds us we're in a great battle day by day. Galatians chapter 5 gives us a little insight. Galatians 5:16 says this, "For this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." In other words, there's a spiritual battle going on inside of us. There's the flesh that wants to do this, and there's the Spirit of God in us that wants us to do these things. And so this battle takes place. That's why all through the Bible it speaks about fight, fight, fight. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul says, "I have fought a good fight." And then he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, "Fight the good fight of faith." 1 Timothy 1 speaks about this, "I charge unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, thou must war a good warfare." In other words, battle it out. Joshua chapter 10 says this, "And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be afraid. Be strong and of good courage. For thus the Lord shall do to all your enemies against whom you fight." And so we have a picture of fighting. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds." There's a battle going on. And then lastly, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle," or you could say fight, "not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And so God has told us that we are in a battle. We are at Jericho. We must fight that good fight. I wonder, are there any spiritual battles in your life? How about at the home? Are you trying to live for the Lord? It is so easy to let the world raise your kids. It is so easy to turn a deaf eye and say, "I'm not going to be spiritually involved. I'm going to let somebody else do that." I'm telling you, we need to fight the good fight in our homes. I wonder about at work. Is it easy just to keep your mouth closed, or will you raise the banner and fight the good fight of faith? How about in the schoolhouse? Will you be silent, or will you stir things up and live a life of faith saying these things are right? How about in our community? I wonder, will we fight like the Lord desires us to fight? He was at that battlefield, Jericho. But notice this, not just his position, but now notice his problem, verse 46. They call him blind Bartimaeus. He is a terrible problem. It is blindness. A.T. Roberts' Word Pictures speaks about these things. There was a guy years and years and years ago in this land, and he documented this about blindness. He said, "I once walked the streets of Ramallah, counting all those that were blind or had defective eyes. It amounted to one half of the male population." He couldn't see the female's eyes because they wore a veil, but half the male population had blindness of some sort in their eyes, either from disease or unsanitary conditions or whatever. They were blind. And so this man, blind Bartimaeus, was physically blind. And so if today, if you're not careful, you'll be blind, not physically blind, but spiritually blind. We need to be able to see things clearly when it comes to our spiritual walk. Now, you're not as lucky as me. Let me just remind you, I'm the pastor. Now, if I'm not walking right, everybody tells me amen. There's no blindness on my part. They tell me what I think I need to do. And so we need to have open eyes to see our own life and recognize God has called us to walk that straight and narrow. But if you're blind, you cannot see that. You say, "Well, what will blind us, preacher?" Well, let me remind you, we are blinded, if you're not careful, by Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the god of this world has blinded," that's Satan, let me read that again, "and whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is out there to kill, steal, and destroy, and he slowly tries to blind us that we cannot see. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, speaking in lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. Let me just tell you, Satan comes up beside of you and slowly leads you in the wrong direction. Slowly points you away from Christ. Slowly gets your eyes off Jesus and on something else. That's when we're blinded, when we cannot see Christ clearly as we should. Not only blinded by Satan, but sometimes we're blinded by worldly wisdom. Sometimes we cannot reconcile science with the Savior. I understand that. But it's about faith and seeing those things are good. If you want to find something interesting about faith and science, read Chuck Misler. Brother Bud kind of led me to him. Man, how good it is. Or Ken Ham, or some of those guys that take creation and show you it must have been the hand of God that made all these things. Don't let the world blind you and think that you cannot be a believer and believe in science. I'm telling you, you must truly understand and recognize that God is the one who made all these things. But then worse than all those are sometimes we're blinded by self. We become a self-absorbent society. We become a people that focus on us and are so absorbed by ourselves that we don't see clearly as we should. I heard a sad report. I may have shared this with you before. Years ago on Christmas Day, in San Diego, there was a man walking down. Matter of fact, it was a sharp cliff, and he was on his phone and simply walked over the side and fell 60 foot to his death. Reporters saw that, or people saw that, and rushed down there to help him, but he was found dead. And they asked, well, how did this happen? And they said he was just looking at his phone and walked over the edge. Now you think, well, that's crazy, but I'm telling you, when we become absorbed in ourselves, not paying attention spiritually, oh, my friends, what a great shipwreck we can have, or a great crash we can have in our life as well. We don't need to be blinded by those things. We can be blinded by others if you're not careful. They'll come up beside you, and they'll either shame you to death or make you superior in one sense. They'll tell you how sorry and no good. I'm here today. If somebody told you how sorry and no good, in one sense, that's true, but Christ came to die for us just like that. But those others will tell you how great you are. I'm telling you how that will get you looking away from Christ as well, and you'll be focused on yourself thinking how good and how mighty. I'm telling you, we recognize that we don't need that. We need that vision. We don't need to be blind. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so his position is the battlefield Jericho. His problem is he's blind, but notice his practice in verse 46. He sits by the highway begging. He is a beggar. Now, nobody likes a beggar. Nobody wants to see somebody on the side of the road begging. Matter of fact, it's kind of repulsive in one sense. It's not so much too bad here, but you go to Gainesville or some of the larger cities, every corner you see there's somebody needing money. And matter of fact, I saw the other day, you know, most of them say, I will work for food. This guy said, I will work for beer. I thought, oh my goodness, what we come to? And so we find this man is begging. Let me tell you what Jesus is not going to do. Jesus is not going to huddle up to this guy and say, man, you've had some bad problems. It's okay. I'm going to help you just like you are, and you just sit right here. God loves you anyway. It's all right. He did not come to approve of begging or sin, I should say. He came to set us free. He came to put us on the right path. He came to make us as we should be, not as we were born, but now born again to follow him. And so he doesn't approve of our old lifestyle, but wants us to face a new lifestyle following him. So let me ask you, are you at Jericho this morning in your walk with the Lord? Is there a battle going on in your life? There's good news if you are. Are you facing battles in your personal life? Maybe it's with your marriage or your family. Are you facing battles at work? Let me tell you, there's one that will join your battle like no other. There's one that will come alongside like no other, that can always bring a victory like no other. It is the Lord Jesus. So we can fight that good fight of faith. And so we have the difficulties of man, but secondly, notice the desperation of the man. And so we find that Jesus is going from town to town to town, sharing the good news, healing many people, and helping people that are in need. And so we're going to find that he's made his way to Jericho and now exiting. And so notice there's going to be a commotion of the crowds in verse 46, a commotion of the crowds. There's a multitude, a great number of people with Jesus. And you can just imagine how that crowd sounds like. They are just talking about this. They were talking about Jesus. They were talking about the miracles. They were talking to Jesus. The problem is they were not talking for Jesus. They were only interested in the miracles and not his message. I can just see these guys. Maybe some of them had maybe suits and ties like me. Maybe they had a WWJD bracelet on. That's not so popular anymore these days. Maybe they had their cross. And now I know I'm just making fun about that. They didn't have any of that stuff. But maybe they just looked like the religious crowd of the day. And here they find somebody on the side of the road talking to Jesus, but they're not willing to talk to that guy about Jesus. I wonder in our walk, in our church, if we're making a lot of noise, but I wonder what kind of noise we make for Jesus. Is it a drawing sound or is it a pushing away sound? Because we're going to recognize that they made enough noise that this blind man heard and recognized, hey, here's an opportunity for me to speak with Jesus. And so notice we go from the commotion of the crowds to the cry to be rescued. Verse 47 says, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I don't know where he learned this from, probably because he was a good Israelite, probably because he was raised probably right, but he understood the Old Testament idea of Isaiah 35. When it speaks about this Messiah that will come, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. He understood that when the Messiah was coming, that he would cure those things, those ailments in his life. And he had probably heard the stories because that small place in Israel, word gets out pretty quick that this one was the Messiah, the son of David, who had power to help him. And so he begins to cry out. He had heard about the miracles. He was excited and recognized God could help him. He was a desperate man. I wonder today, are we a desperate people? I know sometimes after a wreck, after a fire, after a loss, when we get desperate, but I wonder, are we still desperate today as we were then? I went to Perry yesterday to help somebody cut up some trees and move some stuff around, and man, they were obliterated. Man, we dodged a bullet with that hurricane, but they did not. They were some desperate people there wanting help. And so I'm telling you, we need to be a desperate people. This man was a desperate guy. Matter of fact, we're going to find that when they rebuke him, he's going to cry out all the more, louder and louder and louder. And so we find that the crowds rebuked him in verse 48. And many that charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the great deal more. The crowd failed that day. They failed to see something in this man. They failed to see that man needed Jesus as much as they did. They failed to see that this man needed Jesus as much as each of their family members did. And so sometimes in our life, we think about the church today, and we forget that those on the outside need Jesus just as much as we do. And so they missed the boat. They pushed him away. And I begin to think, how many times in our life have we pushed people away from Christ? You say, oh, we would never say, you can't come in here, you can't do this. But I wonder about our lifestyle. One of the worst things we can have is a voice that speaks for Christ, but a testimony that says, I do not believe. A testimony that runs from Christ. We need to live for him. If you want to really think about how to draw people in, live a lifestyle that honors Christ. What about our language? You say, well, sometimes I mess up. Well, let me just tell you how you make that right. Apologize and move on. Say you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. Get things right. And I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference in the life of those that see you when you proclaim Christ Jesus. Do we give them looks that push them away? Is there a lack of care? And by the way, you know what the opposite of love is? It is not hate. It is apathy. I don't care. What a sad testimony about them and maybe us, that we only care about our group, only care about our people making it to heaven. I know that's not us today. We want to have a heart that reaches out. Why? Because Jesus reaches out to all people. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say all you that are well-dressed or those that you are clean or of the same color or smell like us. No, he didn't say any of those things. All people come into him. I wonder will the church today be a bold arm of Christ or a bold witness to leave this house and wanting people to be a part of the kingdom of God. These people had surely missed the boat. And so we need to recognize that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost, which is everybody. I wonder, are we desperate for Christ today? Are we desperate for others to know Christ? I wonder, will we want them to experience the same forgiveness and love as we have experienced in our life? Well, notice how the story continues. Not just the difficulties of the man, not just the desperation of the man, but now the delivery of the man. They're going to be a call from Christ. Their crowd's moving. They're moving forward. All this noise about Jesus. This man starts calling out and calling out and calling out. And notice what happens in verse 49. There's going to be a call for this man. Verse 49 says, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Now, I didn't put this in there, but I just had this thought this morning. I was looking at it. Jesus didn't call him. He said, "You guys, go call him." He gave the command for him to call. That's what us as the church folks are today. Christ calls us to call people to come to Christ. And so you may be thinking here today that he wouldn't ever call me, or he wouldn't stand still for me. He wouldn't stop for me. If Jesus knew my background, he would not. I'm telling you, he would. You say, "Well, how do I know?" Well, he stood still that day when the men came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't run away. He stood still that day before the chief priests when they accused him. He stood still that day before Pilate when he condemned Christ. He stood that day still when the centurions began to drive those nails and spikes into his hands and feet. He stood still that day as he hung on the cross when he could have come off there and saved himself, but he did not. He stood still because he loves me and you. And I'm telling you today, don't think he would not stand still. He is calling. I wonder, would you come to him? He is calling. He's standing still, asking you to come to him today. So we go from the calling to the question of Jesus in verse 51. I can just see that meeting for the first time. Jesus walks up. The blind man's right there. And Jesus asks in verse 51 the question. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." In other words, what do you want, blind man? Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, "I wanted a bigger bank account. I needed a new car. I needed a winning football team." Amen. He didn't say any of those things. "I want my sight." Now, you may think he's speaking about a physical eyesight, and he is. But with open eyes, he's going to now see Jesus. I wonder what Christ could do for us if we ask the right questions. I wonder, are we seeking the right things in our life for the Lord to answer? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The greatest thing you can ask today about your spiritual is for spiritual sight. Not a right relationship with your family. Not a new job or a new car or anything like that. It's for you to see Christ clearly for who he is and to see yourself for who you are. Let me say that again. For you to see Christ for who he is and for you to see yourself for who you are. And once you see clearly, oh my goodness, what a change that can be made in your life. I wonder today, will you recognize and call upon Christ? Will you be desperate this morning to seek him? Will you reach out to him because he's already reached out to you? Christ has made his way to that spot. Will you follow him? The Lord is standing and calling. Will you come to him by faith? Notice how the story ends, not just with the difficulties and the desperation and the delivery of the man, but now the dedication of the man. Something's going to take place. It says in verse 50, there's the pushing away of the old. Verse 50 says, "And he," that's the blind man, "casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." I'm just going to tell you something right now you may not like, but to come to Christ, there's some things you got to leave behind. To come to Christ fully, there's some things you got to just leave on the wayside that you just got to get rid of, that you got to be done with, some things that you just got to shed, that you got to leave there to come to Christ. Now, you said, "I thought you said it'll take you just as you are." That's exactly right. But I'm telling you, my friends, he will work in your life to remove those things. In verse 50 says, "casting away his garment." There's always something in our life that we need to leave behind. Now, notice that garment that he leaves behind. maybe some would suggest it was a mourning garment, and that he would have been sad, and so maybe he's leaving the sad garment. I don't know about that. But I do know this. He'd been blind, probably had runny eyes, probably wiped his eyes regularly with that outer garment. Can you just imagine the smell and the filth and the wretchedness of that garment? And so he lays it down and comes to Christ. I wonder again what things we need to leave behind. Wickedness and those things that are not right. It may be your plain old pride that's in the way that is causing disease. It may be anything like that. But there's some things that you just got to, by faith, step away from and come to Christ. He does that. In verse 452, we find this now, this pursuit of the new. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Immediately he receives his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want you to understand, he followed him in the way. There was a pursuit to following Christ. There was a pursuit, and that's a technical term, means he's now become a believer. He's become a disciple. He's recognized that the old is done away with and now lives for Christ. No longer does he get up every morning to go back to that wayside begging. He is now following Christ. When Christ saves you, things change. Matter of fact, if you got saved and nothing changed, you're probably not truly saved. Because the God I know, Christ I know, changes people to live a different life. Oh, yeah, it may be small to begin with, but there's always change. There's always growth. There's always movement. There's always change to the believer who follows Christ Jesus. You say, well, what did he do as he followed Christ? Well, he probably gave testimony. Can you imagine his testimony walking to a crowd? He said, "Man, I once was blind, but now I see. And it's this guy right here that changed my life. I used to be a beggar, wretched, and nasty on the side of the road with no hope at all. But now when I met this man, he changed everything." I wonder today, will we live a life like that? Will we follow Christ? Will we be a people of testimony? Will we live in such a way that others recognize we've been with Jesus? That's what he did. And oh, it set him free and set others free, I guarantee you. I wonder today, will we simply do those things? I like Charles Wiggle. He wrote this years ago. "I love to walk with Jesus like the publicans of old when he gathered them about him and the blessing tidings told. How he came to bring deliverance to the captives in distress, to take away our burdens and give us perfect peace and rest. I'd love to walk with Jesus like the man of long ago who tarried by the wayside near the gates of Jericho. Jesus heard his cry for mercy, gave him back his sight that day, and immediately he followed Jesus all along the way. I'd love to walk with Jesus all the way to Calvary's brow, gaze upon the scene of suffering with my tears of sorrow flow. There he tells me how he loves me, takes my every sin away, so I gladly follow him so gladly and lead many anywhere he may. Oh, sometimes I'd like to walk with Jesus in that land of endless day when a journey here is over and we reached our home to stay. Then I walk with him forever and sing his praises o'er and o'er with all the saints in glory, love and worship and to adore. I will follow where he leads. I will pasture where he feeds. I will follow all the way. I will follow every day." That same call that was given to the blind man is given to us. I don't care where you are in life. If you got a Jericho battle, the Lord's here to help you. If you've never come to faith in Christ, I'm telling you what a great opportunity this morning to simply trust him, to call out on Christ as this man did, believing that Christ is the Son of God, asking him to help you. He surely will. If you've never done that, why not today? Maybe in a small little prayer saying, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need help. Please help me." He will. And why not make that public as we sing, "You Come Forward"? Others of you, maybe you're here and you've been a believer, but your life's not right. Your Jericho battle is holding you back and you need deliverance and help. Maybe it's a recommitment. Maybe it's a prayer at this altar. Maybe today you recognize that this is the place that you need to help fight the battles in your life and others. Maybe it's church membership and you need to be a place, part of this membership. Why not walk forward and say, "I want to join this church"? We'll take you with a statement of faith or with baptism or a letter from a like church. Whatever it is, let this be the day that you walk with the Lord, that you do his good will, that you fight that good fight, that he may fight those battles for you and with you that you may enter in one day well and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. Think about your life today. There are so many places you could put yourself in the story. You may be the blind man needing help. I'm telling you, there's one that can help you. You may be the congregation around Jesus. He wants to use you to help others. Don't be the one that rejects and turns away. And in just a few minutes, as we sing, I have decided to follow, why not make that your song and say, I've decided to follow Jesus. Man, what a work he'll do in your life if you just simply come to him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you for your power and might, your love, mercy, and grace. How you always have a desire to change us. And so, Lord, today, let us be changeable. Let us have an open heart. Let us see where we stand. Let us not be blind, but simply seeing us and you and what we need to do. Help us now in the name of Jesus, we pray.